Dios los Emperek, hey, the Rambam writes, Yeshom Yomim, Yisrael, Misanim, there are days when Klal Yisrael fasts because of the different tragedies that occurred. The idea is to arouse the hearts and pave the way to tshuva. And this should remind us of our evil deeds. And our ancestors also deeds that were of another nature, which caused them and us all these tragedies. When we remember that which they did and that which we do, Noshul Lahaitid, Shenema, Vizvadu Esavonam, Esavonavosa. What does the Rambam mean when he says here, to arouse the hearts and bring us closer to tshuva? The Rambam speaks clearly not only of a tiny sibur, of a tzara gedola, but even, we'll see, in terms of the definition of a tzara, the Rambam defines the components of tzara. He provides a number of examples of someone who is a chayla, someone who's ill, someone who's lost in a desert, someone who's held captive, which is a tzaras yochid of an individual. He also provides examples of tzaras rabin, a city that's under siege, a batzoret, a drought, some sort of a plague. Now, the word tzara means some sort of disaster, some sort of calamity, a situation in which the lives of individuals and the lives of the community are threatened. And clearly, the Rambam has objective criteria. It doesn't depend on subjective factors. Undoubtedly, a community can sometimes be gripped by a hysterical fear in the face of incident A or incident Y, which, when examined objectively, turn out to be only minor or incidental, and other times the reverse is true. A situation which is grave in nature can be ignored by a community. Before Beis Din imposes a tinness, they have to analyze the objective signs of tzara and ignore any kind of subjective hysterical response. But it's clear from the Rambam that the Rambam has a concept of the tzara of the yochid as well, a subjective kind of tzara. And the Rambam says here, atshuva, that's one expression he uses, and the other expression is halvavos atshuva. In Perek Aleph, the Rambam tells us what is the response of a tzibur to a disaster or to an individual tzara. The obligation is to fast whenever a tzibur is struck by disaster, Rachmanu Litzlan, till the Ibanu shows us mercy. The Rambam adds, Hishem just as a tzibur has to fast, a yochid has to fast. Ketzad, if chas v'sholom, a person has a family member who's ill, or lost in a desert, or someone in prison, that's the anenu that we just said this morning by the Shev Tzibur. Tzara denotes not just objective fear, but a feeling of being confined. As the pasuk says, mitzorim. Sometimes a person can have a mental anxiety, or as I said, a subjective kind of suffering that. even though it's not warranted. And on the other hand, to state of mind are to the person himself rather consequential. So it's not relevant, al pi halacha, whether the apprehensiveness or the phobia on the part of the individual is normal or abnormal. Suffering is not ameliorated by application of reason. And that is relevant to the issue of tainus. The Rambam here speaks of a tainus in terms of a tzara, sickness, war, famine, and the like. Let's say a person is overcome with uneasiness, a person is overcome with anguish, and maybe from a halakhic standard, from an objective standard, it's not warranted. Does the halacha ignore that? Certainly not. I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal a number of times that with respect to tainus, there's a chiluk between tainus yochid and tainus sibur. Tainus sibur has to be measured by objective standards. And here the Rambam lays down the objective standards. While tainus yochid, the tzaras yochid, doesn't require those kind of objective standards. The Lashon of the Rambam, the Hakdama to Hilchos Taanios, he writes, Mitzvah saseh achas lizok lefnei Hashem v'cholei sara gedolah sh'lo tovu al hatzibur. There's a mitzvah saseh a din d'oraisa, to cry out to Hashem when a disaster strikes a community. The Lashon of the Rambam is v'cholei sara gedolah. Rambam speaks of an actual disaster. Not just talking about anxiety, not just talking about lachatz or different types of stress, an imaginary fear, an imaginary apprehension. That's true, as I said, with respect to this is the tzaras hayochid. When the Rambam speaks of tzaras hayochid, he doesn't speak about tzara gedolah. Tzaras hayochid is any kind of anguish, any kind of stress, any kind of lachatz precipitates the observance of a tainus on the part of that individual. And one raya is certainly from the din of tainus chalom that the Gemara has, the person has a nightmare and wants to fast the next day. That's a tainus that's recognized al pi halacha. It's not inferior to any other tainus. On the contrary, the Gemara says that tainus chalom can be observed on Shabbos as well. If all tanios are bound up in tzara, why should you be allowed to fast on Shabbos because of a bad dream? Undoubtedly, the person is alarmed. The chalom is a The Gemara says the end of brachas, a kind of nevuah and the Rishonim describe a person as a bad dream as nafsho aguma. The state of mind is obviously something which is clearly going to lead, could lead to an alarm, etc., etc. But clearly, there are chilukim between a tzaras sibur, which has to be a tzara gedolah that has objective standards, and a tzaras yochid, which is obviously of very personal nature. So here the Rambam speaks about that I began with Klal Yisrael being misogynist, the Hatzara Sheiru Bahem, Le'oreh Halvavos, L'toach Darkei HaTshuva. And the Rambam says, Shebezichron Dvarim Ve'elul Nashu Lehetev, as we mentioned, the Tzomos were ordained by the Nevi'im, they're included in the Navi Zechariah, Rambam They're going to become the basic who the MS for Shalom Elhovah. So, why are we under obligation to pass that Tisha B'Av if Lechora there's no direct confrontation between us and all the calamitous events that occurred so many hundreds and hundreds of years ago? No matter how tragic the Churban HaMikdash was that took place in antiquity. So, what is the Mechayiv here today? That's what the Rambam apparently seems to be addressing. And this is a big machlokes among the Rishonim, which I'm not going to discuss. But clearly, that which happened then, the Rambam says, if we maintain and continue in the ways that led to the Churban HaMikdash, unquestionably, there's still an obligation to go ahead and be misandered. And I'm not going to discuss the sugya of Gzeiras Malchus in Shalom, which is a very significant and very important sugya that requires discussion. But it's clear that even though this event occurred hundreds and hundreds, thousands of years ago, somehow we still are morning, the Chumash and the Yerushalmi quoted last night by the Rav. Keilu Nechrav. Any door that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, the Yerushalmi says, Keilu Nechrav. And the assumption of the Rambam is that nowadays, even in times which may be characterized as Bizman Shein Shalom and Gzeira, although that's not true, we're still to be persecuted. And B'chol, even if you assume it's Ein Shalom and Gzeira, the Taniyas are still mandatory. Yisrael historically, traced to the earth, is always being subjected to persecution in some form of tyranny, whether it occurs in the center of Jewish life or the peripheral community, is irrelevant. The tzad that one community has should be borne by every single tzibur, by every other community on the globus. So the characterization of Ein Gzeira and Shalom is not determined by each community separately, but it embraces the entire Klal Yisrael. And that's one reason why undoubtedly we continue to be misaneh on the Churban HaMikdash, which is ongoing in many respects. In the Lashon HaRambam here that I read at the very beginning, V'yi yazeh zikaron l'maaseinu haroyim. That's what the Navi writes, the Navi Yirmiyahu, Kimidei dabri bo zochar eskirenu. We mentioned already a few times, I heard from Rav Soloveitchik, he commented on the sequence of the pasuk. Pasuk speaks about Dibur, and then it speaks about Stira. How can it say the consequence of Kimidei Dabribo is the second stage of Zohar Eskirenu? The reverse is true. It should have said Kimidei Eskirena Dabribo. First I remember, then I speak of it. Apparently, the word Zohar does not simply mean memory, a kind of mechanical recollection of prior events, but Zohar means where the Ramban Chumash describes it in the context of Zochas Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, that sphere refers to that a person has to pine away for Shabbos the entire week to look forward to Shabbos, and it's more than just a simple memory, but its involvement and the fact that every Jew somehow is connected to every other Jew. Kimidei davribo, Zohar eskirenolo. For every single other Jew, also resilience, which able to maintain many centuries, and that's the din of Chaldor Rador Chayvodom. Of that which happened, therefore, it's true that Ein Kriya L'Bishas Tzimum. However, the institution of the Dalet HaNios, and particularly Tisha B'Av, is rooted in this kind of marvelous historical memory that preserves for countless generations the same themes that were relevant then are also relevant now. La'oyre halvavos, but the recognition has to be, as the pasuk says. And Chazal speak about this as well, namely the psukim that we say every Yom Kippur and Mafti Yonah. The Navi came to recognize that what is the reason why all this is happening? Bishali hasar hazeh. This entire sar, the whole tempest, and everything that takes place, we are the ones responsible for it. And we'll just perhaps examine for a few moments the Gemara in Gittin. Of Kamsa by Kamsa, of which there is so much to say, and so many diyukim that the Rishonim and Achronim make in that Gemara, that indicates to us that essentially the work that we have to do is the work of Tikkun HaMidos. The Gemara has Hakdama in Daf Nun Hei, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Dichsiv, Ashri Adam Mefachi Tomid, Umakshalibo Yipo Beror. The Hakdama is Ashrei Mifachi Gemara says, but a person doesn't always answer if it was Mifachi, They call Maisa, a lot of this could have been prevented. And so therefore we have to begin with Ashrei Adam b'fachi tomei. Person has to be aware of the potential consequences that could occur, whatever a person says, whatever a person does. I read somewhere that in the First World War, when millions of people were killed, it began with the Russian Kaiser. They gave him for lunch, apparently rancid fish. And at that moment that he ate it, he became atzpani, he became depressed, he became downcast. And then they told him that one of his relatives was killed. And as a result of the combination of this caste and that caste, he decided we're going to war. Seems to be pretty foolish kind of behavior. And it had millions of karbanos. Ashrei Adam b'fachi tamim. So the Gemara begins by saying, "Akamtzo by Kamtzo Chorav Yerushalayim," that the Chorav Yerushalayim occurred because of Kamtzo bar Kamtzo. The word Kamtzo in Aramaic refers to a grasshopper. A grasshopper is the Shvasim Hashotzim al Haaretz. The pasuk says it jumps, and then after it leaps, it goes right back. It doesn't remain on top. There are people who are constantly jumping. But they only jump for a certain short period of time, and then, by the way, they go back to their former lifestyle, to their former behavior. Even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur doesn't really have any kind of an impact on them. So that's one shot in Kamsa. The Maharal says that Kamsa, the Lashon Kvitsa, first of the Gemara Menachos, the Beis Hamikdash, there was a carbon mitzvah they used to bring, a mitzvah shel Soles, and then they would take a fistful and be makdir on the Mizbeach. So Kamsa, Bagba, Kamsa. Are the Maharal says, Anoshim HaNifrodim, people who enjoy Palgalut, people who enjoy divisiveness and Machlokes. They love the excitement of Machlokes. They live as a result of Machlokes. That's where they find their Sipuk and the Simchas HaChayim that's missing. So the verse says here, Hahu Gavra, Derachmei Kamso, Baal Dvovi Bar Kamso, there was a person who had a friend named Kamsa and an enemy named Bar Kamsa, Ovatsudasa. He made a meal, a festive meal, clearly that many, many people were invited to, including the Doli Ador, which shows you that he wasn't another Pasha, but he was a very Chashuva personality. Amalei L'shama, he tells his servant, Zil Aisili Kamsa, invite to the Suda Kamsa. And instead, mistakenly, he invites Bar Kamsa, his enemy. And here we see, Ashrei Adam b'fachi tamim. This shliach was not medakdek what his master told him to do. He brings his enemy. He brings Bar Kamsa to the Suda, and from there, the Chumash HaYiddish was nigra. Now, even Bar Kamsa should have understood that it was a mistake. So why did he come? So I saw in the Chiddush Arim, the Admor Migur, he writes that Bar Kamsa said to himself, "Okay, let me come to the meal. Let me see if Kamsa." Oh, he didn't make a mistake. They didn't make him some sort of peace. They wanted me to come to some sort of reconciliation. The problem was that Kamsa, who's the friend of the Baal HaSuda, he saw that they didn't invite him. He decided that I'm coming. Why not? He's my good friend. Now, massive fatal error. Someone does, and when he saw that, apparently he came to that same maskana, that let me see if we can somehow find some sort of reconciliation. But the Gemara continues. Also, Ashkechei Davar Yosef. So the Baal HaSuda comes and sees he's sitting there. Amalei Vichli Ahu Gavra, who speaks about the other person, the third person. That person is an enemy. My boy Yisachar, what's he doing here, my enemy? Kumpuk, get out. You're my enemy. What are you doing here? So Avyanku Galinsky, I saw in one of his Svarim, quotes from the Gedolei and the Vardok, and here you see how a person has to do things with Yishuv Hadas and Menuchas HaNefesh. They say over from, I saw in the biography of Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, an episode when he had a brain episode, a brain seizure. And he had a lot of pain, and they wanted to obviously bring an ambulance to bring him to the hospital. And he said, before I go to the hospital, I got to bring my Gemara with me because I have a certain amount that I have to cover every single day. And in the hospital, he sees his son talking to the doctor. He didn't even ask the doctor what happened, what was the nature of the brain seizure that I had, what are the sequelae, what is the therapy I'm going to be treated, is it Mesukan, not Mesukan. He remained with his Menuchas HaNefesh, with his Blat Gemara, and continued to learn. And this last So he found Bar Kamsa and he said, oh, that's the enemy. Get out without thinking. What is this behilut? Engage him in some sort of a conversation, not outright saying, when he said, listen, meal. No. So Abgedalia Eisenman, the Mashgiach of Kol Torah, I saw that he writes on this Gemara that Mamish, everyone is mitakesh. Every member here decides to become an action. Sometimes you say action yatsuya, but that's only when you do good things. When you do things that are not so good, you're not going to have atzlocha. So when this Bar Kamsa tells him the Balasu, the Kumbetse, say, leave. Anyone knows, okay, the fellow asked me to leave, let me get out before Balagan begins. No, instead, what does he do? He begins to have to engage in invective with the other person. And he said, no, you invited me. I'm going to remain. And I'm mitakesh. I'll be in action when it comes to this matter. And and he decides to go all the way to the end. And that led, of course, to Rahman the Chuban HaMikdash. The Bala Suda didn't have to be such an action. Here, Bar Kamsa agrees to pay for the entire meal, which means I had to make a wedding, several hundred thousand shekel. I had to borrow money from Gemachim in order to pay for this Suda, pay for this meal. So anyone who would come to me and offer to pay for the entire Chasana, including the Tizmoret, including the Tzalam, the photography, and the flowers, flops, and all, I would be mekabel him the same part of Yochas. I'm just telling you what I would do. So what's he? Kepel, kind of thinking, we love him, and then Nachakasha and Abchayim and Abkulos from the Gdol Yador, Mamish from the Gdol Yador, as a result of their. What the Gemara calls anvisanuso, Shabbos Chayim and Avkulas, as Rashi savlanuso, shtigo muchletes, that caused Bar Kamsa to be malshin on Klal Yisrael in front of the Roman Caesar. The halacha says that the chacham should not sit at a meal with an amoretz or a rasha sheshoy v'socha. So Bar Kamsa said they were quiet, the chachamim, and they were masking to my being removed from the meal. Obviously, hold on, a rasha and mela. That led to unbelievable, terrible consequences. And even the Rav Chaim of Kulis, who refused to become involved, didn't want to intervene. Even one word to say to Bar Kamsa, be mevater, well, let's see if we can do something and come to some sort of peace would have prevented the entire Churban. No, Chas v'Shalom, I have to be Amid, I'll MD, God forbid, I should not, I can't be mevater under those circumstances. The Marsho, here in this Gemara in Gittin, he's concerned about the Lashon of Chazal. Al Kamsa Ubar Kamsa Churban. Sounds like Kamsa is also guilty of the Churban. Bishlam Bar Kamsa, I understand. But what is Kamsa's role in the Churban? So we mentioned before that the Dusharim said that Kamsa came despite the fact that he was not invited. And as a result, Bar Kamsa thought the Balabais invited him in order to come to a pius. And somehow to reconcile. Masho says a big chiddush. Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Kamsa was the father of Bar Kamsa. Very famous Masho. Masho. The Masho comments that he Google the Masho. However, the Pashup Pshat in the Gemara is not like that. Pashup Pshat in the Gemara, Lashon Chazal, Mashma, they were not connected, they were not related, these two. There's no connection between Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. And the Maharal, I saw, also writes, and this whole Inyan, that generally when a person fights with somebody else, you don't want to be a loner, you don't want to be someone who's a yochid, and you want to have people who are going to support you. So, for example, you have in a shul, or not in this shul, or in any shul, that you try to find other mispalim who will support your position, because you don't want to be al tihi don yochim mar tzadet. You don't want to be by yourself. Terach v'adoso. You decide to bring together many, many other individuals to also join him, and this becoming involved in machlekes and lasiak k'karach v'adoso. Gemara says. So that applies over here as well. And as I said, Kimat, every single aspect of the here involves elements where a lack of midos and a lack of tikkun midos. And every time I learn the Gemara in Gittin, which is every year on Tisha B'Av, you see Kimat in every single event that the Gemara records this issue of literally lack of midos. And the need to be misakin midos, and the Gemara continues over here. Every single aspect of the mum that was Mardubach Yehudai that he told the Roman officials and Vali mum and Pirul Gabi Mizbeach. That's what Rav Chaim and Avkula said. Every single aspect over here, mind-boggling. Every single aspect was lacking in midos, lacking in basic character. I saw the Magen Avraham, yes, Akasha, famous Magen Avraham. That despite the fact there's a mum that they sent, but the Chachamim held they should be makud the korban, obviously Mishum Sholem Alchus. And Amul Rav Chaim and Avkulis, Yomer Bali mum who came to Gabi Mizbeach, you're not going to be makud this animal because we'll learn from there in the future that you can take Bali mumim and bring them up to the Mizbeach. Back to Magen Avraham, Basim mit pikuach nefesh, and a sveik sveik da pikuach nefesh. The Mishnah writes in Yuma Yemachal Shabbos. So who cares that they'll say Bali Mumim Kremel Gabim Mizbeach? Why should that be a factor? Says the Magen Avraham, a tremendous chiddush. That's true that in this situation there's a matzav of pikuach nefesh, but it's possible there's a chash that Bnei Adam will see they will makir b'mum al gabim mizbeach, and as a result they'll be makir mumim al gabim mizbeach even when there's no pikuach nefesh. So the question is, this situation which is begetting pikuach nefesh. So therefore, doesn't that doche all the other subsequent mikrim that there won't be pikuach nefesh? Among Avraham is a fellow also. He quotes a Meiri, the Magen Avraham Meiri Bava Kama Dafei Amud Aleph, that pikuach nefesh is only doche this specific event, but it doesn't have the ability to be doche future events that won't be pikuach nefesh. Gemara tells over in Bava Kama Dafei Tanya, Maaseh b'chosid echad she'gonech milibo. There was a fellow, of course, who had a heart ailment. The only takon he has, if he has a cholav roseach, shachris, the word says you can't raise small domestic animals, and as you saw, the Madaka, the Mishnah. So you saw. They bring in eis, they tie it to carry amita. These small animals habitually graze in the, usually in the pasture of others, which of course is a shiloh of gezel. Came in shiroh eis, they said, listen to mezuyim, it's all basil. There must be some armed robber there. And we're going to his house. So they found that was the only chet that he had this chassid. And he said, b'shas misaso as well, I know this is the only avon that violated divrei chaverai, because chazal sim megadim him medakit meretz Yisrael. Back to Meiri, mikuach nefesh. Mikuach nefesh is docha the iser of being gadol b'him adak and Eretz Yisrael. The answer is yes. In this situation with mikuach nefesh, but the chash that people in the future will learn that maybe you can go ahead and raise the b'him adak and Eretz Yisrael even where there's no mikuach nefesh against the zera of Chazal. And here we don't say the cloud mikuach nefesh docha cloud tokula. So this is Rav Chaim and Avkulis. This is his whole cheshbon that you can't be matir to be makir of an animal balmum. Even though it's already pikuach nefesh, because of chash that you might come to be matir hakavas bali mumrim gam shalom b'makom pikuach nefesh. The Chacham argue with him. They said pikuach nefesh is not only doche this specific event, but any future event even though there won't be a massive pikuach nefesh. So this whole pshat v'taya that the Gemara discusses, again, unbelievable how literally the Churban was led, and the sinas chinam that's discussed over here, the Gemara says on the Sanuso, of Rav Chaim and Avkulas, Hechivas Beiseinu, Sarfasei Choleinu, Glisanu Mi'artseinu. What does the Gemara mean? Hechivas Beiseinu, Baishen was Nechav Shem Sinu Asinam. The Farshim has this kasha as well. How do they tar and feather Rav Chaim and Avkulas? Why is he responsible for the Churban? It's Sinu Asinu, the Gemara says in Yuma. So the Masha says, Abidu Zoshin, Gam ki nigzar oz golos aleyem v'abur Sinu Asinam, Efshe Shabbai Yisrael Nechva. That alone would not have been sufficient to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Because of Sin Aschinam, Yishalayim was Nechra. There was a Churban, there were Tzoras, but the Beis HaMikdash would have remained. But now the Chacham was not masking to be Machal the Churban, so he decided the Roman Caesar to be Machal the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, there's no need for Beis HaMikdash. So again, here we have behavior kimat across the board from everyone, but primarily, as I said, the issue that really is that which requires very, very careful examination is the issue of tikkun amidos. And so many areas that Chazal speak about the significance, the God writes in Heaven Shlema, the ikar tafkid of a person is to be misakeh midosa, to go ahead and really work on his midos and try to improve his personality, his behavior, and try his best to somehow be misakeh others and the like. And this midah of an Amar Chaver that the Rav spoke about last night is something which is most significant. And all the different midos that people have in Sheker and Gaiva and Kas and who knows what, there's no end to all of this, and there's no end to that which you can have, Rahman al-Islam, incredible consequences, tragic consequences, Churban HaMikdash consequences, and that's what exactly what we're talking about. So we have to somehow try our best, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. We have to practice Chesed. The Chofetz Chaim has a whole sefer he wrote, and Avas Chesed, Ribbono Shel Olam, doesn't want simply that we should do Chesed. He wants Avas Chesed, to love doing Chesed. He wants us to feel deprived if we can't do Chesed. Only that way can we earn the protective shield of Hashem Yisbarach. And that is not a simple thing to do. I remember hearing from Rav Pam, the Chatzag Dibrocha, that someone once came to him to help extricate himself from a situation of causing him great anguish. The man needed a large sum of money to get back on his feet. And Rav Pam listened to his story with great sympathy. He wrote him a check. Then the man asked Rav Pam, could you call your Talmidim and ask them to contribute as well and make a big difference? Said Rav Pam, I would love to help you. It's a very worthy cause. I can't do it. Just a very short while ago, I called these Talmidim to help them with another matter. I can't call them again a week later. I'm sorry. I know my situation. I can't do it. So the man said with a sigh, okay, thank you anyway. 10 minutes later, one of his Talmidim comes in, Rav Pam, and sees him going to a pile of index cards and he's crying profusely. So the Talmud asked, what's about the index cards that's making the Rebbe cry? So he said, I just sent the person away. He's in terrible need. You want me to call my well-to-do Talmidim on his behalf? I told him I couldn't do it. So I went through the index cards to double-check it. It's true. I just called each one of these people, Mam Shuigo. But why is the Rebbe crying then? Said Rav Pam, that man is crying. How can I not cry? Ima Anochi Bitzara. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim speaks about. Avas Chesed. It's not enough just to do Chesed, to have a love for Chesed. But rather, it has to be incredibly, literally overwhelming. The Avas Chesed that a person should have and that a person should of his neighbor, of his fellow Jew, about Avas Chesed, Chesed Beis Pashtus. I saw that Moshe Feinstein, that's all he writes. Chesed It's different from us because the chesed you do is more for your own benefit. Think that we need to give money to the Lord. There are poor people in the world, so we can give them and fulfill our own personal needs and do chesed. But the Gemara says that even more than the ani does for the balabais, the ani does for the balabais more than the balabais does for the ani. Because essentially what we're doing is we're trying to arouse our neshama to change our personalities. This is the kind of menshachai that Chazal want us to do, and unquestionably, all the entire Chuppah HaMikdash was all due to this issue. Namely, Kemat, every single story, as I mentioned, relates to Midos and Tikkun HaMidos and the like. The Gaon writes in Mishlei on the Pasuk Hachzik B'Musar Al Teref, Nitzreah Ki Chayecha. Don't let it go. Guard it. It's your life. Why does a person live? So the Gaon says he lives in order to correct his Midos roles, his bad traits. You have to correct your bad Midos. And the Gaon says the person does not correct his bad Midos. What purpose does he have to live? I mean, one could suggest many, many reasons why a person has to live. The Gaon says no. He has no purpose whatsoever. Without Midos Tevas, without proper behavior, that person loses his Zechus Kiyum. Abinyani writes like that as well in Shari Tshuva a number of times. Hayom Kotzer, Vamalacha Meruba, that from day to day, once time gets less and less, we have only a certain amount of time in the world to accomplish what we have to achieve. There's a lot of work to be done, undoubtedly, a lot of Torah to learn. Person has to do. And I saw the name of Chaim Vital, writes like that also. The person is the neshama. The body is simply a levush. The clothing for the neshama. The pasuk says, "Vayipa va'abav nishmas chayim." That's the neshama. But the body is only the levush of the neshama. Together with the levush and the neshama, we have to carry out the Ratzon Hashem, do mitzvahs, learn Torah, but primarily become greater in Midos Tovos. They say over for the Chofetz Chaim, in his house, they were sitting and eating. The Chofetz Chaim's Rebbetzin spoke to the Rosh Yeshiva. She wanted him to speak to her husband. What should he tell her husband? Don't be so good to everyone. People are taking advantage of you and causing you tzar, causing you tzaris. Many times the Chofetz Chaim would give away everything just to help others. So the Chofetz Chaim said to Rosh Yeshiva, "My wife is right. I go overboard. Many times I do more than I should. In the end, I suffer sometimes for doing a lot of chesed. But what is it better for a person when he enters the Olam Haba? Is it better that the Bnei Shalom will say this person suffered from the world, or is it better that they say the world suffered from him?" There are people that have midos roles. So much you can't even speak to them. You have to change the midos. Tikkun midos is the most important aspect of a human being, and that's why he was created. This is found again. The Chavos HaBavos I saw writes that he mentioned that a chosid once said it took him 25 years to correct the midah of gaiva, of arrogance, to become humble. And Chavos HaBavos felt, Aya kedai. That was kedai to do, to spend 25 years. If you read the Sefer, which I'm very fond of, and Tzaddik in Our Time, I saw one of the stories that's quoted there, that Rav Moshe Aaron Stern was working, the Mashgiach of Kamenitz, was walking on Shabbos with the Tzaddik Abayu Levine. And they were walking on Rehov HaNaviim, and coming opposite them was a giant, a fellow who looked like a heavyweight of a fellow, 6'5", some kibbutznik who was smoking on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe Aaron said to Hashem quietly, "I only hope Rav Aryeh won't give him any tochacha, because that guy can tackle us both and bring us both down. A strong guy, gigantic fellow." But it looks like Moshe Aaron Stern's his tefillos were not accepted. Rav Aryeh was a very short person, came closer to that man. Almost double his height, looked up at him and said, "Mein Feind, my friend, today is the Heilige Shabbos. You're not allowed to smoke on Shabbos." So Moshe Aaron Stern said he saw the man's eyes flare up, and he knew if he would hit someone, it would be me. Abaye was an older person, he was still a younger man. So the man said, in order to somehow respond to them, that, "I'm not Jewish." So Abaye Levine said to him, "Mein Feind, my friend, don't say that you're a goy. You're a Heilige Yid. You are my brother. I love you. Why are you saying that you're a goy?" And the man's heart was really hit by these words of Abaye. His face changed. First, he was angry at Abaye for rebuking him. Then he said, "Vada'av, this is the first time someone's given me tochacha and rebuking me with love, with ava, and not with hatred. Do you want me to put out the cigarette?" Said Abaye, "Chas v'sholom, just put it down on the ground. Don't give mechaber the cigarette." Immediately, he took the cigarette and put it on the side. And then he said to Abaye, "I can't promise you I'll become a Shem Shabbos, but because of your tov lev, your goodness, and your loving words, I promise you until tonight, I won't be Mechal Shabbos. Please tell me at what point on Motzei Shabbos can I put on the light. Till then, I won't do anything that's also on Shabbos." That's a person with the lev tov. A person who speaks to his fellow man with ava and not with hatred when saying, "Why are you doing this?" That's what the Rav spoke about last night. There's love behind that person's word. There's pity. He has midos teves. He can influence another person. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem boichen tzadik. So Hashem tests a person with small things. And these small things are primarily in the area of midos teves. I heard from a number of Talmidim, this is Zalman Meltzer, he's a Shiva Beis Chaim, Yeshiva Yerushalayim. He was very weak in his old age and unable to go to shul every day. He lived near Rehovot Agrippus on the second floor. He go 40 steps to go up to his house. He wasn't healthy enough to go down every day to shul and come back home. He only went to shul on Sheni V'Chamishi and Shabbos. There was a young man who was Shimon Chevron by the name of Dov Finkel, a great nephew of Mrs. Zalman. He made it his business every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos to be in the home of Mrs. Zalman, take him to shul and come back home. This way he had an opportunity to speak to the Gaon HaDor and hear many interesting things. So on Thursday, Rabbi Zalman went with Rav Dovid to shul. After davening, both of them came home. Slowly, Rabbi Zalman walked up the steps. A little, he stopped to rest and continued to walk up to the top. He finally reached the door. He said to Rav Dovid, "Maybe we can walk down the steps and take a walk around the block." Rav Dovid was absolutely incredulous. Rabbi Zalman doesn't go to shul every day. Now he wants to go down the steps a second time, and within an hour, "Please," Rabbi Zalman said, "do me a favor." They went down, walked around the block for almost 15, 20 minutes. It was great, great difficulty climbing back up the steps. When he reached the door, he turned around and said to Abdullah Finkel, "Nachamo, I want to go down and take another walk." Abdullah said, "Rebbe, Shaladam, your wish is my command. I'll do it. But there's something which I have to learn. You never go down the steps 3 times in a row. There has to be a reason why you went up and down a flight of stairs 3 times in a row." Rabbi Zalman said, "Once they descend the stairs again, I'll explain it to you." They walked down very slowly, and Nachama walked around and came back up. And Rabbi Zalman told him, "Today is Thursday. My wife told me before I go to shul, she's going to the market to shop for Shabbos. Every Thursday we have a Sephardic woman who comes to the house to wash the floors and clean. She's a almana, she's a widow, but she loves to sing. That gives her tremendous enjoyment. When she works, she sings. She knows that Kol B'Yisha Erva. I'm not permitted to hear her singing. So indeed, when I'm home, she doesn't sing. I came to the door the first time I heard her singing. Why should I go into the house and take away her pleasure? She's Sabrachan. I can't it. I went down. When I came to him, even though it was his house, everyone knew he's not allowed to walk up the steps so many times. He forfeited davening every day because of that difficulty. This is Midos Tevos that the Gedolei Yisrael indicates to us, and this is clearly no question about it, the beauty of Klal Yisrael and the godliness of Klal Yisrael, and the reason why, in effect, Klal Yisrael, just one last story from Shevinov, Abdul Berish Shevinfeld, the Tzadik Racha, came to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in the area of Shaarei Chesed, Yerushalayim. And there was a meeting in Yerushalayim when a Gadol came to the city. The Rabbein would send all their best Talmidim to be tested by him. And of course, that would elevate the name of the yeshiva, but they'd be successful at all the bechinas. So the Rebbe once sent the best boy in his class to Shabbat on Shabbos. Shabbat was an older man. The boy was given the address. He came to the house after the Shabbos Suda about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He knocked on the door, no answer. But if you know Yalda Yerushalayim, there's no such a thing as no answer. He continued to knock, and he knocked so hard, he almost broke the door down. Finally, he heard someone walking to the door. An old man wearing a bathrobe came out. The rabbi asked, "My entire kid, what do you want, my dear child?" So he asked, "Is this the house of Shabbat?" The rabbi answered, "Yes." So the boy said, "My rabbi sent me to get a bechina." So the rabbi said, "Come in, and I'll soon send out the Shabbat to you." The rabbi went back, got dressed, came out, and gave the boy a bechina. And this boy was a very put together, a very wise fellow. He knew the answers well. And when he finished, the child asked, "What should I tell my Rebbe?" "Tell your Rebbe that your Rebbe said you knew the Gemara perfectly. But you, I want to tell you something else that you shouldn't tell your Rebbe. When you knock on the door and the person doesn't answer, maybe he's sleeping. That You have to have a little da'aretz." So this is again very, very telling about Gedolei Yisrael. Even I said that was the last story. Now I just thought of another one. Hagadol Kamenetsky. So someone once informed him he had to go from New York to Baltimore to a certain wealthy gvir to solicit a donation for the yeshiva. He said, if Rabbi Yankee goes along with him, the yeshiva would get a much bigger donation. Rabbi Yankee was willing to go and asked, when do they have to leave for Baltimore? The man said, in order to catch the first plane, they have to leave the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. Said Rabbi Yankee, okay, I'll be ready. At 4 in the morning, the person came to the house, off they went. And as they were traveling, the young man noticed that in the car, he was falling asleep. He said, Rebbe, it's early in the morning. Why are you tired? He said, I didn't sleep last night. Why? You told me I have to be ready at 4 o'clock. So I set my alarm clock at 3:30. Then I remembered that my neighbor works in the post office. He comes home at 2 in the morning. Then he goes to sleep. If my alarm would ring at night, it would wake him up just if he went to sleep. So I said to myself that if I would go to sleep without setting the alarm, I could oversleep. So I decided not to sleep in order not to wake my neighbor. Where do we find such Gedolei Yisrael, such Midos Tovos, such Derech Eretz? This is the Tikkun HaMidos that's required in order to prevent a Churban HaMikdash, in order the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. So this is that's a Shtickel HaKdama to Tisha B'Av. Now, just do briefly. I'll try to carry out briefly in this first Kina of Shabbos. Just speak about one aspect of the Kina, even though there are many, many different sedation and the like. But we'll just talk about one small facet, which is found in the very beginning of the Kina. This is Avraham Zakalir. That we don't even really know when he lived. There are different you look at the answer among the those in Mefarshim, whether he maybe was a Tana, lived in the days of the Gaelim. Whatever the case is, that his poems are very historical to my mind. Just as the author defies any limitation in time, so too he's Lamalam Azman, Lamalam Amokom. He transcends all generations. So here you take a look at this. In this Kina, Shavas, which indicates everything suddenly stopped, Shavas Surim Meni Shimuni Oichroi, Sriu Mos, all based on Psukim in the Eicha, Hasimuni Vyadri Chaverai, Sakaisa Mishkan Mishos Devirai, Sakaisa Bhulu Yiborai, Sofku Chaf Umadu Eborai. Here, there are actually in this Kina, you have six stanzas here, I see. That made reference to Hashem's abode for which we long on this day. Mishkan is mentioned here, Gilgal, Shiloh, Nov and Gibeah, five locations of the Ohel Hashem. And the final place is Bibliyecha, the place of your longing. That Rabbi Elazar Kalia chose that appellation of the Beis HaMikdash because Hashem longed to build his home in Yerushalayim, and we long for it too, now that we cause his device. But this first stanza speaks about Sriyu Mos, how we were reviled by the nations. Our tormentors not only persecuted us, they demonized us. Mamish halacha. We're being accused left and right of genocide. Those of us who live here in Eretz Yisrael, we are not human. The mayor of New York, we are filthy, we are revolting. Mamish, exactly what this keynote is all about. And during our enslavement, the Torah says, Vayoreu, son of HaMitzvah, Vayanunu. Doesn't say Vayoreu Lanu, they're two different results. What is Vayoreu Osanu? This is Goebbels. The Egyptians that made us evil. They could have written Vayoreu Lanu. No, the psychological assault on Klal Yisrael. They made us evil people in their eyes, in the eyes of the Ganze Welt, the eyes of the UN, and only efforts could they perpetrate their crime. And that foreshadowing expressed itself in the 30s and the propaganda of the Nazis leading to the final solution. Mamish halacha lemaaseh b'zmaneinu anu. It's exactly what's happening to us here in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, at the end, Toshuv lem gemul, that we have the issue of revenge, even though there, the concept of kina on the kama is only in the Yad Hashem, but the Yadus does not eschew revenge. There's a need for retribution and judgment of our enemies. And Avrachamim, we say on Shabbat Musaf, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be the one who should be Nikem, Nikmaseinu, and I'm talking about the context of the Crusader massacres. But there's one critical factor, each of the verses that speak of revenge in the Harachamim there, and elsewhere in Tanakh, is Hashem Yisbarach. Let Hashem Yisbarach exact justice on our enemies. We don't claim necessarily the right of retribution. Of course, Ashkei, that's a clear halacha we just had not long ago, Tzaras HaMiyonim. But the main issue that the Paitan here speaks about is the issue of Tzilul Kvod Shamayim. And this is the topic that is very broad and very expansive, one that Chazal described. The Ibn Shom is very concerned about Chiluk Kvod Shamayim. Chiluk Kvod Shamayim is identical to Chiluk Kvod Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael are Mechulal, Be'eni Umos HaElam, Be'eni HaGoyim, that's a Chiluk Kvod Shamayim. And the Tsar Hashina, the Chuban HaBayis, on the Golus Yisrael, is something which is overwhelming. And this is what we said, Gemara has a brachas, Daf Gimel, famous Gemara, when the Gemara describes, Rabbi Yossi said, and he asked Elio, asked him, what did you hear in this Churba? Himself is Misabel on Yerushalayim. The Ibn Shalom himself clearly is mourning the destruction of Yerushalayim and Asher Amel Shemekalsin Seikach. And this is what we say, and the Maharal, I think, talks a lot about this, Yesh Mei Rabba Mavarach, that in fact, we're asking for the Ribbono Shel Olam to be Megaleh Kvod Shamayim. Chaim Halozhin talks about this as well, the word Baruch. He notes it's not simply a Loshon of Tehillah v'Shevach, but Baruch refers to Tosefes v'Ribui. When the person gives a bracha to Hashem Yisbarach, that's a Hakara, that Hashem is the Mekor HaBracha, the Mekor HaShpoh. And we want that Gilui Kvod Shamayim B'Shleimus. That's what we want, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should reveal himself and reveal that Kvod Shamayim and reveal the covenant of Klal Yisrael. That's essentially what this idea, which is embedded in this kina to a large extent, is expressing. Halavai, the Bekorah, we should be zeichet to that Gilui Kvod Shamayim and Gilui Kvod Klal Yisrael. Be'er Yomim.